Ryan, current member of the Washington Redskins. Very cool to say that. How does it feel to be an NFL player, LaShawn?
It's definitely good, that's for sure. I mean, it's definitely a dream come true. I mean, especially growing up and, you know, watching the NFL, just having family members that's played in the NFL, that's always been a goal of mine. And to, you know, actually be out there on Sundays and playing, it's been great.
Hey, LaShawn, it's Rob. Thanks for coming on with us. I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no problem.
So what did it feel like? You got your first carries last week. I know you kind of, I'm sure this whole season you kind of been waiting for, you know, when's my turn going to come? What did it feel like to finally get the ball and run and get hit?
It was good. I mean, I hadn't been tackled in a while for sure. So it definitely felt good to be out there and, you know, doing what I love to do and playing football. And obviously, you know, it's good to be on the field and doing, you know, special teams and stuff like that. But obviously, you know, being on the field as a running back and getting the football is definitely something that I truly enjoy. So it was definitely good last week to, you know, get out there and, you know, finally get my first couple carries. Obviously, I would have liked to be get him in a better situation, but it's definitely exciting.
Did Desmond get a shot on you?
I think he tackled me on my last carry, but I mean, it wasn't like a big hit or anything like that, so. So not too worried about that.
So there wasn't any talking or anything?
Nah. We chatted a little bit after the game, just talking about, you know, just wishing them good luck for the rest of the season and stuff. And obviously we'll talk more, you know, after the season's over. So,
LaShawn, one of my favorite shows to watch on the NFL Network is a show called Undrafted, and it kind of details the life of undrafted free agents. You had to go that route. You've been now with your third team this year. What is it like to kind of go through that? You're always trying to prove yourself. You always kind of have that chip on your shoulder, and you're always trying to kind of earn that next rep and that next carry within the course of a game.
I mean, it's definitely tough, that's for sure, because I mean, there's obviously plenty of undrafted guys out there that have made their way and, you know, have made a productive NFL career. So it's definitely a process. So, I mean, you're going through OTAs and training camp with one team. And, you know, even though if you feel like you perform well enough, I mean, it's obviously not good enough. And then, you know, you get released and you're just kind of waiting around. You know, you got to make sure that you're staying in shape. And it's tough. That's definitely the main thing I can say about it, is because, like, I mean, you feel like that, like, you're better than some people out there that are on rosters. And, you know, when you see like all the transactions that go throughout the week and throughout the season, you feel like man, like, I feel like I'm better than that guy. Why am I still not on the team? This and that. And but the thing about it is, just, you just can't get down on yourself. You know, you just got to continue to believe in your skill set and, you know, make sure that you stay up on your workouts. And, you know, when the opportunity comes, you know, you just can't waste any reps. You just got to go out there and, you know, perform to the best of your abilities. And, you know, most of the time as undrafted guys, you know, when you're picked up and, you know, you're put on the practice squad, you got to go out there and you're going against the ones every day in practice. So, I mean, that's really how you can show your skill set, because, I mean, you're going against the best of the best. So you just got to go out there and take advantage of each rep.
Former Iowa running back LaShawn Daniels joining us on the program tonight. This process started back in May when you signed with the Patriots. I know you only spent a couple months with that organization, but we constantly hear about the way that the Patriots do things. What was your experience like in that organization?
My experience there was great. I mean, definitely learned a lot of football there from, you know, all the coaches and the players, very experienced players there. I mean, I think that was a great place for, you know, me to really get my start in the NFL. I mean, they obviously have a proven program that's worked for obviously over, you know, 15 years now. And, you know, to go in there and experience that with, you know, Coach Belichick and Coach McDaniels and, you know, all the offensive staff there was definitely something that helped me out a lot, you know, in growing as a football player. And, you know, I've just been using, you know, everything that I learn from that experience, and I've just been using it throughout the year. Just, you know, paying attention to details and, you know, being a smart football player.
You've had a chance to be reunited with Brandon and run behind him again. Has he kind of helped you transition into the NFL? You know, him having a couple years under his belt already.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely nice to, you know, be at a place with a familiar face. It's, you know, a person that I played football with for, you know, our first couple of years at Iowa. So, you know, to have him here has definitely helped me a lot with comfort level, especially, you know, knowing that there's someone up, someone on the offensive line that you know, I'm familiar with and that I'm comfortable with, and someone that I know that is going to go out there and, you know, give his all. And it's definitely been nice having him here, you know, to help me out. I mean, so it's been good. I mean, last week I helped him out on a block where he missed the block, and, you know, I came and helped him out on the play. So it's definitely been good, you know, having him around.
Speaking of the transition from college to the NFL, you hear all the time, of course, it's a big transition no matter who you are, but you hear all the time people say that coming from a program like Iowa, it's a little bit less of a learning curve because what you did at Iowa is very similar to some of the schemes and the playbooks that you'll see in the NFL. Did you find yourself kind of picking up, at least scheme-wise and playbook-wise, the offense a little bit quicker than some of the other players that come from spread offenses?
You know, yeah, I think that coming from Iowa definitely helped me a lot, and, you know, just understanding playbooks in the NFL. Because, I mean, obviously, at Iowa, we ran pretty much a pro-style offense, and so a lot of the concepts that we used at Iowa I've experienced here in the NFL. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, people come from places where, you know, they don't even hear, like, they don't even, you know, do huddle calls. Like, they don't even line up in a huddle. They don't listen to a play. And, you know, they don't do specific pass protections and stuff like that. So definitely coming from Iowa where, you know, you were in a pro-style system, you know, you have to hear a huddle call. You know, you have to be able to identify a defense and be able to pick up on a pass protection. It's definitely even something that's helped me out a lot thus far. Because, I mean, it obviously being in the NFL, you want to be able to play as fast as you can. And, you know, you can only do that if you know what you're doing. So coming from Iowa has definitely helped me out in that regard.
LeSean, you've been on the active roster with Washington the last couple weeks, but as we mentioned, you finally got a couple carries last week against the Chargers. Do you know that moment is coming, or was that a complete surprise that, hey, you're getting in there and you're getting the ball?
I mean, it was kind of a surprise because, I mean, it was early in the game last week. We had a running back go down. And then I was the next guy up. And, you know, whenever Samaje had to come out or needed a break, I mean, I was the person to go in. So, I mean, I was just making sure that when that opportunity came that, you know, I was just ready for it. I mean, I didn't know when it was going to come. I was just making sure, you know, I'm preparing throughout the week and, you know, the days leading up to the game that, you know, if I'm in there, I got to make sure that I know what I'm doing and, you know, that I can be counted on.
Probably a fact not everybody knows, but I'll throw it out there. You were committed to Boston College originally before switching to Iowa. Mm-hmm. Now Iowa and Boston College match up in the Pinstripe Bowl. Take me back to that time and kind of the recruiting process. It's, you know, it can be hectic and crazy. How you ended up flipping your commitment to Iowa and choosing the Hawkeyes as the school, as the team you wanted to be with.
Yeah, so, you know, kind of after my junior year, I mean, I really didn't really have all that much, you know, steam going into recruiting. I mean, I obviously, like, had some MAC schools offer me, and Boston College was really the only Power 5 team that really showed me, you know, true interest. I mean, obviously by offering me. So, and then, you know, I took a visit out there the summer leading into my senior year. I mean, just felt comfortable. And obviously, it's a good academic school, great academic school. And, you know, I felt like it was going to be good for me. And, you know, going through my senior year, had a pretty good senior year of high school. And, you know, they had had a coaching day at Boston College. Didn't have a great year that year. And, you know, they went through a coaching change. And then that kind of opened up my recruitment a little bit. And, you know, Iowa came into the picture. And, you know, Coach Brian Ferentz came to the high school and, you know, talked to me about the program. I mean, to be honest, I mean, I didn't really know too much about Iowa at the time. I mean, that all I knew was that they were in the Big Ten. And that's pretty much it. I mean, especially being from Ohio, I mean, no one really ever talks about Iowa out there. So, you know, obviously went, took a visit out to Iowa City, you know, had a great time bonding with the coaches and, you know, the players on my official visit. And, you know, I just felt like it was comfortable, like it was the spot for me. I mean, I know how great the offensive line has been there over the years, and I really want to be a part of that and, you know, run the football there because I know that's what I would like to do. So especially being as a running back, I mean, it just felt like the most comfortable spot for me. And I think everything has worked out to this point. So
now, LaShawn, with your busy schedule, I'm not sure how much you've been able to watch the Hawkeyes this year. But my question is, when you're able to watch the Hawkeyes, is it more or less nerve-wracking watching them from afar than it was playing on Saturday?
Definitely more. I mean, I've been sitting, like, whenever, you know, I got the chance to watch them, I mean, I'm sitting at home on my TV just, you know, just yelling at the screen, like, why are you doing this, blah, blah, blah. Probably sound like your typical Iowa fan at times. So, because it's definitely way more nerve-wracking I'm not out there, you know, participating and whatnot. Cause, I mean, you're a little bit more calm, at least that's how I felt at my time there. I mean, when stuff wasn't going well. And so when I'm being as a fan, watching as a fan, it's definitely a lot more nerve-wracking whenever, you know, things don't go our way or when things do go our way. I mean, just jumping up and down in excitement or just yelling at the TV in, you know, frustration. So it's definitely a different experience, you know, watching a game on Saturday, that's for sure.
Did you get a chance to watch or catch the Ohio State win this year? That was probably the biggest game of the year.
Yeah, I was actually in town that weekend, so I went to that game, was on the sidelines, and that was really fun. I mean, I had lost my voice that day from screaming so much on the sideline and from every big play that the guys were making. So that was definitely a fun experience. Probably the best experience from watching them the entire season. I think most fans would definitely agree. So
your brother James had a smile on his face that was pretty amazing after that game, and he had said he was texting with people before the game saying Iowa was going to win, so he's kind of a prophet in that way. Coach Ferentz mentioned a few weeks ago that, you know, in addition to Josh Jackson, that you know, James may have a choice to make about coming out early, and I talked to your dad about it briefly as well. What would you advise him, and do you think he would, you know, he seems like a kid that really likes college football and the experience. You know, if I was betting, I'd probably bet that he would come back. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, James has done such a great job since he came to Iowa, you know, and putting himself in a position where, you know, he has been able, has a chance, you know, to make this decision. I mean, he's done everything the coaches have asked him to do. You know, he's gone out there and he's performed, and, you know, it's definitely, you gotta give James plenty of credit, you know, putting himself in this position. And I mean, I'm not going to, you know, sway his decision in any way. Because I know he's smart. You know, I feel like whatever he rolls with, he's going to make the best decision for him. You know, I just would just tell him that, you know, just go with your gut. I mean, obviously you only get to play college football, you know, once in a lifetime. So, you know, you really just got to sit there and you really got to think, you really got to evaluate, you know, how much do I really enjoy college football? Do I really want to stay for an extra year? Do I want to, you know, come back and, you know, enjoy another year with my teammates and stuff like that? Because, I mean, with his skill set, I mean, obviously, you know, I feel like the NFL is going to be there. But, I mean, obviously there's a lot of pros and cons that go into making that decision. And, you know, I know that he has a great support group, obviously, with myself, my family, and, you know, the coaches. And, you know, he's gonna get plenty of advice from a number of different people. So I feel like he's going to make the right decision for him. Obviously, I mean, I would like for him to, you know, stay at Iowa, but I would also like for him to, you know, be in the NFL. I mean, obviously that's another dream that we had as kids, you know, both of us playing college football and playing in the NFL. So, I mean, whatever decision he makes, I feel like it's going to be the right one. And because, I mean, he's smart and, you know, he knows what he's doing. And if he feels like he's ready, I mean, and he'll make his decision. So,
what if he makes that decision or eventually winds up in the NFL? You're still with the Redskins, and he's a Dallas Cowboy. How will that play out?
that'll be something. That'll definitely be interesting. Obviously, that's a big rivalry. You know, obviously, it'd be all love off the field. I mean, it's just, and it's too bad that, you know, he doesn't play on the other side of the field. You know, we never have that matchup of each other, you know, going against each other specifically. But obviously, that would definitely be something interesting.
Washington isn't too far from New York City. What are the chances we see at the Pinstripe Bowl watching him play?
See, the thing is, I feel like. I wouldn't have enough time. I mean, if the crazy thing is, that weekend we play at the Giants. So, but since the game's like on the 27th, I think we play on like the 31st. So, like, the games aren't close enough for me to know to really have a chance to go there and watch. Because obviously, I mean, I'd love to go down there and, you know, watch the game, but I mean, I don't think I'll be able to.
Well, LaShawn, we appreciate you taking time to join us. I know we tried to get you last week, but you were in the air heading out to Los Angeles. I almost said San Diego. I'm still getting used to that with the Chargers. But glad we could get you on today, and I guess you'll be watching the TV, watching the Pinstripe Bowl on TV like a lot of Hawkeye fans are. So thanks for the time, and best of luck to you moving forward.
Yep, thank you for having me.
LaShawn Daniels, former Iowa running back, now in the NFL, the third week he's been active with Washington, got a couple carries, a four-yard and an eight-yard carry with Washington last week. Samaje Perine acting as the number one running back there with some injuries. Jay Gruden, the brother of John Gruden, the head coach of Washington. And I didn't get a chance to ask him if he had been in Washington long enough to learn the fight song yet. Braves on the warpath, fight for old DC.
Before.
We've heard that before. Our boss is a big Redskins fan, so we know all of the words to the fight song. And perhaps occasionally when we're out and about on a KGYM road trip, we'll plug the jukebox. If it's an internet jukebox, you can pull up the original version of the Washington Redskins fight song. So great catching up with LaShawn. Be interesting. James has that NFL body, and he'd be just the latest in a long line of offensive linemen to eventually wind up there. But we'll see how that plays out. I'm glad you brought up. I seem to remember that he had been recruited by Boston College sort of way back in the back of my mind, but I'm glad you got that story out of him. And so many times it's a coaching change that leads to a picking up a commitment, and that's similar with the with Spencer Petras. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about him today, but Iowa getting a three-star, four-star, depending on what site you look at, quarterback to add to the 2018 recruiting class. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com with us. So 6:25, we're going to take a quick timeout. We come back, we'll have another big board update for you, and then we'll talk a little Hawkeye recruiting as well as the Hy-Vee Classic this weekend. Iowa and Drake tipping things off tomorrow at Wells Fargo Arena at 1 o'clock. Back with more after this.
Back in 1947, when young Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, he could pick up a pound of coffee for just 33 cents. Prices have changed a bit since then, so now, 7 decades later, $70 would be a very nice windfall, and $700 would be absolutely spectacular. So in honor of Hertine and Stocker's 70th anniversary, you can register right now to win one of 70 $70 gift certificates Hertine and Stocker is giving away. Drawings continue through December 18th. And on that final day, one person's name will be drawn to win the grand prize of a $700 gift certificate for their store. Stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertzien & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and register for your chance to win. And be sure to wish a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
627, welcome back in the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, continuing on a Friday, December 15th, those shopping days counting down to Christmas. Hard to believe it's right around the corner. It's been right around the corner for about 2 months.
About a month or so.
Okay, well, we continue to bicker back and forth about this.
I still haven't started
my
shopping.
That's fine. It's not like I'm a former SEC football player calling you out on Instagram for not having played the game.
I haven't played the game. That is correct.
You showed me that exchange. Well, you did in high school.
Freshman and sophomore year.
It counts. It counts. You showed me that exchange, by the way. You're right, and that guy's wrong. But, hey, to each their own. 628. We got Kyle back in the studio now, so it's a four-man booth, but only he can bring you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa and Drake will square off at the Hy-Vee Classic tomorrow. Cordell Pemsl is said to be iffy as he recovers from a laceration to his leg suffered in Ames. And regarding his lineup and rotations, Fran McCaffrey said he's going to stick to the script rather than scramble to match up with the Bulldogs' four-guard lineup. That game will tip at 1 o'clock, followed by Iowa State and UNI at 3:30. Iowa football got a commitment yesterday from quarterback Spencer Petras, a 6'5" pro-style passer from California. He chose the Hawkeyes after decommitting from Oregon State and over other offers from Cal and Louisville, among others. The Rough Riders fell on the road last night, 2-1 in a shootout with the Youngstown Phantoms to fall to 9-12 on the season, but they've got a chance to get back at them tonight in the second game of a back-to-back. Their next game will be here in Cedar Rapids on the 27th. We've got a lot of high school basketball action tonight. Right now, over on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, we have the West Branch girls hosting Iowa City Regina, and we'll also carry the boys game after that. On 107.5 FM, the North Gym, we have another girls game with Cedar Rapids Kennedy hosting Cedar Rapids Washington. The boys will play after that, and our show will be done by then, so we'll also pick that one up right here on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym. We'll also be carrying that Iowa State versus UNI game from the Hy-Vee Classic tomorrow. Coverage starts at 2:30. The tip-off will be around 3:30, and that will also be on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym.
Rough Riders and Phantoms underway in Youngstown. Riders are headed to the power play from the looks of it.
Bo Pelini's there?
Bo Pelini, and he is at Youngstown State. I think he probably may have some other things on a Friday night than USHL hockey.
But cat.
They are... They're out of the FCS playoffs, but it is the final four, the semifinals this weekend. We talked a little bit with Gary Rima about that. If I recall correctly, it's Sam Houston State and North Dakota State.
Correct.
And then James Madison and South Dakota State.
Also correct.
South Dakota State, which beat UNI a couple weeks ago, they have the much tougher road to Frisco, Texas. James Madison, number one seed, but... North Dakota State, James Madison, looking like the likely showdown January 6th for the FCS-level title in Frisco, Texas. We'll continue on. 6:30, Major League Baseball. Sounds like a trade has gone down or is going down between the San Francisco Giants and the Texas Rangers, right? Involving left-handed pitcher Matt Moore?
Yes. I just saw the details come across that Matt Moore and Hunter Pence were being traded, and then John Heyman of FanRag, as we talked about a couple days ago, reported that Matt Moore, at least, will be going to the Texas Rangers.
Matt Moore, which is a sort of a fly ball pitcher, he gives up a lot of home runs, right? Going to the ballpark in Arlington? Seems like a very interesting mix to me, but I'm
6-15 with a 5.52 last year.
And now he goes to a definite hitter's ballpark. But hey, I'm not a general manager.
Wasn't he a big time prospect.
He was, and then
just
he
about 5 years ago
he hurt his arm. Yeah, neither is Dan O'Dowd anymore, who on the MLB Network last night declared the Miami Marlins one of the winners of the winter meetings. Like, his definition of winners and everybody else's definition may be a little bit different.
There's always somebody.
As was pointed out on social media last night, the Marlins have traded 3 All-Star caliber players and have not brought back a single top 100 prospect in return. That's not usually how you do a rebuild, but we'll see what happens in South Florida. The Hawkeyes have a quarterback of the future. I'm going to talk a little bit about that with Rob coming up in just a bit. And, of course, Iowa and Drake on tap tomorrow, 1 o'clock tip-off at Wells Fargo Arena. Rob's heading over to cover that matchup. We'll find out the keys to Iowa and Drake when we return after this.
The Ford year-end sales event is in full swing.
Okay, 50-pound bag of dog food, 2-gallon bowl and dish, extra, extra, extra large dog bone?
Yep.
What kind of dog did you adopt?
I got a puppy.
What kind of puppy needs a 5-foot sleeping bed?
A St. Bernard.
Oh, hope you have a big SUV.
I do. It's a Ford Explorer.
The Ford Explorer, with available class-exclusive powerful third-row seating. That's Ford, America's best-selling brand. Now with exclusive holiday savings. Get 0% APR financing for 72 months plus $1,000 Ford credit cash on a full lineup of Ford SUVs like Explorer, Edge, and Escape. Hurry, offer ends January 2nd, 2018. Best-selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for $1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Not available on Ford GT, Fiesta, Focus RS, Mustang GT 350, 350R, Raptor, or Super Duty. Take new retail delivery from an authorized Ford dealer stock by January 2nd, 2018. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details.
Colonel Sanders here with another important holiday message from KFC. This year, don't get the ones you love some lame, boring gift like a new car or jewelry or toys or expensive electronics or any other junk. Nope, get that special someone what they really want. Exactly! A KFC $5 fill-up with 100% white meat popcorn chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink. It's a perfect gift for all those important people in your life who get hungry right around lunchtime. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Available for a limited time only. Pricing and participation may vary. Tax extra.
Whew, sorry I'm late. Ready to tee off?
Dude, you're glowing gold.
Yeah, stopped by Shell on the way to the course and got rewarded with instant gold status.
Cool. Does it do anything?
Yeah, it saves me 5 cents per gallon on every fill every day.
Whoa.
And it crushes the long ball. Watch this. Nope, it just saves at Shell.
Get rewarded at Shell when you join the Fuel Rewards program now at fuelrewards.com/gold. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons per transaction at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for details. Doesn't actually turn bodies gold.
6:34, the big hour continuing. A big thank you to Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. 14 years in business and 15 right around the corner. The Big Hour featuring Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com, and we continue it through basketball season. We'll continue after the Pinstripe Bowl is over, and let's talk a little Hawkeye football here because I think there's probably some Iowa fans that want to learn a little bit more about Spencer Petras, the quarterback that committed, as Alex noted on the big board earlier, as did Kyle, previously committed to Oregon State, coaching change there, reopened his commitment, and sounds like the Hawkeyes may have a good one on their hands. Went to the same California high school as Jared Goff, right?
Yes, Marin Catholic in Northern California. I'm going to plead a little ignorance here. I'm not familiar with the level of competition there, and that's such a key when you're looking at statistics with high school kids. I've heard comparisons today between he and Nate Stanley coming out of high school. I can kind of see that. Stanley's a bigger kid. Petras is 6'5", 210-ish. He's much thinner. I'm sure he'll, you know, once Coach Doyle gets a hold of him, he'll fill out some. But Stanley's just a horse. I think Stanley was a little bit better athletically in high school. He ran more. Petras is your classic pocket passer. And I think you could say that about Stanley these days, too. I mean, that's kind of his MO now that he's in college. He doesn't run just because that's not what the Iowa offense asks of its quarterbacks. Just a brief, you know, background here. I think Iowa is concerned that Tyler Wiggers and Ryan Boyle may move on after this season.
Both of them?
Yes. Wiggers graduates this month. Boyle graduates in May. And if you're looking at that as a backup quarterback, barring an injury to Nate Stanley, there's no path to playing time. And that's just kind of the thing that guys are doing. Russell Wilson basically opened the door for this years ago, that guys move on. Cody Sokol did it. Went to Louisiana Tech, led them to a bowl game. We know Jake Rudock did it with Michigan. And I think they were kind of scrambling here late in the recruiting process to fill this, get a 2018 quarterback. They had missed on some kids. Will Levis ended up going to Penn State, kid from Connecticut earlier in the process. So late last month, early this month, they offered three kids, Matthew Baldwin from Texas, Spencer Petras, who ended up committing, and then Zachary Wilson out of Utah, who was committed to Boise State, then decommitted on Wednesday, set up an official visit to Iowa yesterday, and then canceled his official visit once Petras decided to come in. So it's been kind of a whirlwind process here to find a quarterback late in the process. But I think Iowa's really happy with the guy they got.
What kind of wrinkles do you think the early signing period? We talked about it off the air. This next week, it's Wednesday through Friday, I believe. The early signing period. What do you think we're going to see that's going to be a little bit different in past years? How is it going to change some things?
Well, we've kind of seen it with Ben Van Summeren, a linebacker / tight end / H back out of Michigan. He was a kid that committed to Iowa last month. Michigan had lost out on and the name slips my mind right now. A kid committed to Notre Dame yesterday. He was between Notre Dame and Michigan. Michigan jumped on Van Summeren yesterday. Harbaugh was in his high school yesterday. They put the press on to try to flip him from the Iowa commitment. That's more hectic than it's been. There's been that kind of window was, started now but went through January previously. Now with the early signing day, it's much more sped up, and schools are trying to poach each other's prospects earlier in the process. And then after you have that early signing period, now what's going to happen in January? I think it's going to be the January period is going to be like the late period in basketball where the supply is far under the demand. And I think January can end up being a really, really crazy month for football recruiting.
Rob Howe with us from HawkeyeNation.com as he joins us every Friday in the 6 o'clock hour. Any inkling as to whether or not Iowa may pick up one or two more recruits before the early signing period next week?
Excuse me. Need the cough button there.
We don't have one, as listeners to KGYM cough. Have probably surmised through the years.
Drake Stoops, you got probably recognized the last name, a wide receiver out of Norman, Norman, Oklahoma, officially visited this past weekend. He's trying to decide what he wants to do and isn't decided whether he wants to sign early or late. He can go to Oklahoma as a walk-on, but his dad, having coached there, Bob Stoops, he can go to Oklahoma for free. And walk on there and then earn a scholarship. So I think he's kind of between those two right now, and we'll see. I contacted him today. He said he really hasn't come to a decision yet, so he's still deciding between those two. Dallas Cradieth, a safety out of St. Louis, is on his official visit to Illinois this week. He's been thinking about waiting until February to sign, but he's been tweeting a lot of Iowa stuff lately after his official visit this past weekend. Would not shock me to see him pull the trigger this week and maybe sign with Iowa on Wednesday, and that would be a nice pickup for them because they're looking to bolster both of those positions, Stoops at wide receiver and Cradieth at safety.
One of the questions that I think a lot of people were wondering was about an in-state kid, the top in-state recruit in this class, and that's John Wagner from Dowling Catholic. And I spoke to a couple of the announcers at the state championship game when they were playing West from Dowling, and they were saying that he really, really wanted to go to Notre Dame. That was a dream of his, and it seemed for a while he was kind of holding out on that, and then he decides to commit to the Iowa Hawkeyes. Do you think this might be a case where that early signing period will be nice because you see programs at that last second make that decision, oh, Notre Dame finally decides they want to give an offer, and then things get hectic. But you think the early signing period might work to their advantage in this case?
Yeah, I think it does in this case. And I also think you were talking earlier about, you know, how this early signing day affects kids. And I talked to Tom Wilson, you know, after John had committed to Iowa, and he said he learned lessons about this because previously you had a kid like that with a lot of offers. You could wait until December, start taking visits, you know, figure it out and not have it interfere with your high school season. Wilson told me that if he had it to do over again, he would have recommended that John take some official visits during the season and maybe speed up his process because he got to the end and some of those offers that he had, those schools had filled up. And I think that affected John a little bit. I think he really liked Iowa anyway. I think Notre Dame was kind of the elephant in the room, as you suggested, and he was kind of waiting for that and thinking how this might happen. And I think it worked out for him because I think he ended up at a school that he really liked. But there was a lesson learned there that you can't maybe take your time and not deal with this stuff during the season anymore because that December 20th signing day comes pretty quick.
I look at this class and I wonder, because we saw some different recruiting tactics and some different tactics, and people wondered how things were going to change with Brian Ferentz as the offensive coordinator and how they're going to try to build around their quarterback of the future. Now their current quarterback, Nate Stanley. Are you seeing any different types of, because we talk about elephants in the room. We're talking about Iowa's offense. It's the wide receiver position. You seeing anything different as far as the way they're recruiting that position in this class?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that they went and what's his name? The kid from Samson Evans, the kid from Crystal Lake,
Prairie Ridge, right?
Had been recruiting him as a receiver. He plays quarterback in high school. Had been recruiting him as a running or as a wide receiver this whole cycle, and then recently said we're going to bring you in as a running back. It makes me wonder. He's not a traditional type running back, maybe doing some different things, putting in different packages maybe for a running back to do different things, maybe a Rex Burkhead type, if I could go there. And then also Tyrone Tracy is an interesting kid because he played running back and wide receiver. He was the Gatorade Indiana Player of the Year. He's coming in but hasn't played a lot of receiver, but he could be a slot guy. He can be an outside guy. And a guy we haven't talked about who also committed this week, Calvin Lockett out of Florida, coached by former Hawkeye Marcus Pascal. A lot of comparisons to Amir Smith-Marset with him. He's 6'2"-ish, 165, 170 pounds, speed guy on the outside. So they've addressed some of those needs, and I think they're building to expand the playbook. It's just going to be a matter of getting some of these guys into the program and then seeing what they have to work with.
Rob Howe with us from HawkeyeNation.com. On the off chance you've got a question for Rob, you can shoot it to us on the Hurtian and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. We were talking about Matt Moore being traded from the Giants to the Rangers. At one point in time, MLB.com had Matt Moore as the number one prospect in baseball with Bryce Harper 2 and Mike Trout 3. So it goes to show you that prospects are great, but parades are better because not every prospect pans out. Every prospect is Bryce Harper or Mike Trout.
A parallel to recruiting, because I think the same thing holds true there.
Yes, you know what? You really could. And I know there are some people that go completely overboard on this. And I had joked earlier that this Petras is automatically more popular than Peyton Manziel. Manziel doesn't even get his moment in the sun. But, hey, we got a guy from Jared Goff's high school, and he's going to be the next great thing.
And Dan Fouts, too.
And Dan Fouts. If he grows a beard like Fouts, you got to start him. You say, man, that wins you the job right there. But moving from football to basketball, you are headed over to Wells Fargo Arena tomorrow. Iowa and Drake are the opening game with you and I and Iowa State to follow. Did you catch any of the Drake-Minnesota game earlier this week? Drake looked a lot more interesting than I thought they were going to look.
Yeah, I did catch that, and I think Minnesota probably took Drake a little lightly, but Drake played its game, and it's a difficult lineup to match up. I just find it interesting that this was a game before the season, the Drake-Iowa game, that everybody's like, yeah, whatever, nobody.
Yeah.
But Drake looks better than we thought they would before the season, and Iowa hasn't been as good as we thought they were before the season. So it should be an intriguing matchup, a different Iowa's height and lack of perimeter depth against a team that's very good and starts four guards on the perimeter, but doesn't have a lot of inside.
Richard Pitino likened playing Drake the other night to going to the dentist, which I thought was fascinating. Southern University, the last time we saw Iowa play, Sunday afternoon. Luca Garza goes to the bench, comes off the bench, and has a double-double. Now, what do you think of Fran McCaffrey's latest tinkering with the starting five?
Yeah, it's. I think he's kind of settled in on this smaller lineup, at least to start games, and I think that's a good way to go tomorrow when you're facing Drake. Luca's just a freshman. I mean, he's inconsistent, and a lot of it is based on confidence with him, and he got a little confidence in that first half the other day, and it took off from there, and he was playing well early in the season and had his confidence going, hit of a bit of a wall, and then Fran pulled him from the starting lineup and decreased his minutes. So I think there's going to be a bit of a roller coaster ride with him. Jack Nungy's really been he's been the freshman that's been consistent on both ends of the floor. I think he had four or five blocks against Southern. He's kind of become that inside presence that defensively that we thought Garza might be. So that's a good sign that Nungy's taking up that hole in the middle that really hurt Iowa last year.
It seems like he's getting more confident as every game goes along, and he's learning three different positions at this point. For him, is it just about him getting a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger? He's still a freshman, like you talk about, 18, 19 years old. Still a little skinny at this point.
Yeah, and stamina. I've seen him a few times yank the jersey. Coach, I need to come out, because it's such a intense game at this level with guys just banging on each other. But he's just really a tough matchup. He's out shooting three-pointers. He crashes the boards. He did a nice job at Iowa State getting offensive rebounds. He's really showing a nice all-around game, and I'm sure his game will expand as he matures and gets stronger, as you said. But he's a nice piece now. If he can continue the upward trajectory of what he's done so far, he could be really, really good by the end of this season.
Cordell Pemsel, reason to worry about the leg injury here, or is this just day-to-day?
Yeah, it was interesting. I texted Matt Weitzel, the sports information director, before I came up here. He texted me back and said, Cordell is a game-time decision, like we
iffy.
All are.
Fran said iffy yeah. on the teleconference earlier this week.
Game-time decision. So, yeah, we talked to Cordell the other day, and he had fun with, you know, the video that was somewhat viral of the Iowa State students pushing on his back when he went into the stands at Hilton last week. But he said when he was sitting there, he could see his tibia bone through his skin, which is not a good thing.
Especially for a kid who's had his right. fair share of injuries going back to high school.
And they feared that it was broken, and I think that's the positive that came out of this thing, even though he said he had three layers of stitches on three different layers of his skin, I guess. Not a doctor, so I don't know technically how that works, but I would be surprised if he plays tomorrow, just because you want to give that thing a little bit more time to heal. But thankfully, this doesn't look like it's going to be a long-term thing for him.
Fran mentioned that redshirting is still on the table for Connor. And that was interesting, because he looked very solid against Southern and looks like a piece that they're going to need as that backup point guard role, and possibly to come in and move Jordan Bohannon to the number two. Is this just about his health at this point, the stamina of coming back from mono?
Yeah, I think so, Alex. And I think I would be surprised if they redshirted him at this point. I think they need him. As you said, they need him too much on this team with the lack of backcourt depth. I've not had mono, Todd. We've talked about this before, that coming back from this, it's hard to predict how long it's going to take for you to rebuild your stamina and get your weight back and all those other things. But he played quite a few minutes against Southern, so I don't see him going backwards at this point. And like you said, Alex, his ability to facilitate offense, to move the ball, I realize it was Southern and not Iowa State or Virginia Tech, but the ball just moved a lot better against Southern when he was in there, and having Jordan off the ball a little bit. I'm interested and intrigued to see where this can go. I don't think he's a 30-minute-a-game guy, but I think you put him in there and have him facilitate offense, especially in the half court, and I think he could be a valuable piece to this puzzle.
Iowa State, you and I, following the Iowa Drake game. I know you're going to be busy working on stuff for Hawkeye Nation, but you think that you think the Panthers have a chance in that one this year?
Oh yeah, I like their chances a lot in this game, and that's not taking anything away from Iowa State, who I was really impressed with when I was out at Hilton last week. Their guard court is really good, but they're still an inexperienced team, Iowa State. And you and I and Jake, they build for seasons like this where they have a bunch of guys that have experience and kind of, you know, have built up for this type of season. So I'm really interested to see how that plays out tomorrow. I like you and I's chances a lot.
I liken playing you and I to for the big schools.
The dentist?
That too. But to football teams, big-time Power 5 football teams trying to prepare for the triple option. Almost. They slow you down so much. They force you into a half-court game, put a premium on every single offensive possession you have. By the way, they play pretty good defense, too, and they execute in the half-court.
Yeah, and Cook has really been kind of the X factor for them this year. They needed a guy in the middle, and he's provided that. He's a guy that, like so many others before him, develops in the program, and by the time they're upperclassmen, they really figure it out and do well. Was it 2 years ago where... No, it must have been 3 years ago where they embarrassed Iowa in that second half. I mean, they held Iowa. I can't remember, but
it was three years ago, yes.
Yeah, and it was an embarrassment. That's what they do to you. They frustrate the heck out of you to the point where you start getting out of what you do. They take you out of your game because you start to feel, all right, the clock's moving. We're not getting anywhere. Start chucking up shots. You get away from your game, and then it can all fall apart quick. And that's the challenge for Iowa State tomorrow, a team that's relatively inexperienced in its backcourt. Can they be patient enough to dissect the UNI defense and be productive?
6:53, we'll step aside, take a quick timeout, and we come back. We'll have your final big board update of the day and then send you off toward your weekend. 1600 AM, the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. Back after this.
AutoZone presents Max Performance. AutoZone knows better engine performance means taking it to the max. Max fuel economy, max engine life, and yeah, max savings. And it all starts with the right fuel treatment. That's why right now you can save on STP gas treatment and get two for $5. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. Must buy two. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
What is style all about? I don't know.
Maybe something about personality? Creating your own environment?
It's just a way of being. Just being you, actually.
Once you find your own way of living, I think style is automatic. This holiday season, Tissot and Jared the Galleria of Jewelry will give the gift of time by offering a premier selection of men's and women's luxurious watches. To find your Tissot timepiece, visit your local Jared the Galleria of Jewelry or shop online at jared.com.
Looking for the perfect gift this holiday season? Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. We have great gift ideas to fit every budget. Have someone hard to buy for? Try an O'Reilly gift card. They're available for any amount and can be used at any O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When something bad happens, you don't want to get sucked into the black hole of voicemail. And you certainly don't want to tell your story over and over each time you're transferred. What you want is a kind, smart person who knows your coverage top to bottom, understands how you're feeling, and helps you figure out what's next. It's really not too much to ask. At Skogman Carlson Insurance, you have a person. A real one. Get to know yours at youhaveaperson.com. Supported by Integrity Insurance.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at tryoninvestments.com.
Oh, our poor friend John Bonenkamp from the Burlington Hawkeye. They had their all-area team released today, and according to him on Twitter, he's got a parent who's accusing him of costing their child a college scholarship.
Oh, woof.
Because the kid didn't make the all-area. I'm sure that there's a coach out there who bases their scholarship offers contingent on a newspaper's all-area team.
I remember those days.
People.
I do not miss them.
People. Sometimes it's warranted. Most often it's not. 319-366-16 under the Hurtin & Stocker text line. We appreciate your hanging out with us today and participating with us. Coming up on Monday's show, all week long, as a matter of fact, we're going to have $50 gift certificates to Elevate Salon and Spy. Last minute stocking stuffer for you guys out there. And also John Walters, Mac McCausland, the usual Monday gambit, but we can't turn our attention to a new week before we close the door on this one. We'll do so with a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa and Drake will square off at the Hy-Vee Classic tomorrow. Cordell Pemsl is said to be iffy as he recovers from a laceration to his leg suffered in Ames. And regarding his lineup and rotations, Fran McCaffrey said he's going to stick to the script rather than scramble to match up with the Bulldogs' four-guard lineup. That game's going to tip off at 1 o'clock, followed by Iowa State and UNI at 3:30. Iowa football got a commitment yesterday from quarterback Spencer Petras, a 6'5" pro-style passer from California. He chose the Hawkeyes after decommitting from Oregon State and over other offers from Cal and Louisville, among others. The Rough Riders fell on the road last night 2-1 in a shootout with the Youngstown Phantoms to fall to 9-12 on the season, but they've got a chance to get back at them tonight in the second game of a back-to-back. They currently lead 1-0. Their next game is going to be here in Cedar Rapids on the 27th. We've got a lot of high school basketball action tonight. Right now, over on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, we have the West Branch girls hosting Iowa City Regina. We'll also carry the boys game afterwards. On 107.5 FM, the North Gym, we have another girls game with Cedar Rapids Kennedy hosting Cedar Rapids Washington. The boys will play after that, and our show's obviously going to be done. So we're also going to carry that one right here on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym. And we're also going to be carrying that Iowa State versus UNI game from the Hy-Vee Classic tomorrow. Coverage starts at 2:30, and that will also be right here on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym.
All right, yeah, Iowa and Drake, 1 o'clock tip-off. Doors open at 11:30 if you're making your way to Des Moines for that contest, and we'll have a look back on it coming up on Monday's program as well. We'll get the Cyclone perspective with John Walters, the Iowa perspective with Mac McCausland. He can give us thoughts on both games as well, plus those gift certificates. Our final week before Christmas. We'll even have our airing of the grievances. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend, and talk to you Monday.